and we're in the middle of experiencing the ballot car shows. And two of them we've already had, and the third one will be coming up this Shabbos. I'd like to talk about the shadow of the ballot car shows and Pesach itself, and how the ballot car shows prepare us for this Monday Seder on Pesach. And of course, that when we say Pesach is a Monday Seder, Pesach is a time of liberation, a time of freedom. It does not merely mean freedom from that historical servitude which we have in Mitzrayim, but rather, as we mentioned a number of times, every person is an Eved for a particular thing. A person can be an Eved to gaiva, to anger, to arrogance, to materialism, to jealousy, to depression. And these are bonds and ties that prevent a person from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in Pesach, there is the vibrations in the air that enable a person to achieve chemes hanefesh. In fact, the whole idea of beer chametz, burning the chametz. You know, chametz is also a symbol, you know, we've heard over the years, of the Yetzer Hara, it's puffed up, it's arrogance. And when we talk about burning away the chametz, we are also focusing not only on getting rid of the bread, but we're focusing on burning away the Yetzer Hara within us as well. So Rav Tzadok sees that the four parshios are steps of hakana that prepare us for the chemes hanefesh of Pesach. And actually, I've been borrowing from Rav Tzadok's thought for many weeks now, so I'll just get all of that. But Rav Tzadok's basic idea is the following. The three greatest enslavers of a person are those that Pirkei Avos calls Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. Right, Pirkei Avos says, Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, Motsiyan es ha'adam min ha'olam, they take a person out of this world. They destroy a person. Not merely from Olam HaZeh, but they destroy a person's Olam HaZeh. So Rav Tzadok's idea is, Parsha Shkalim helps us deal with Kina. Parsha Zachor helps us deal with Taiva. Parshas Para helps us deal with Kavod. And after we have successfully dealt with Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, we're ready for Parshas HaKodesh, which is Ischadshus, or renewal. Okay, so that's kind of the progression, that's a machshava to think about in the Dalit Parshiyot, that one is being the Sakin. Now these midas of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, you understand, are considered to be the Abi Avos HaTzoba. They are considered to be the Shirashim. They are considered to be the roots of all Avedas. For example, even Shvichas Damim is said to be an ultimate expression of jealousy and envy. Hilei Arayos is an ultimate expression of Taiva. Avos HaZorah, where we replace God by our own idol, is an ultimate expression of Kavod. So Kina, Taiva, and Kavod are the root causes which can manifest themselves even in the worst aneiros of Avodah Zarah, even the lives of Shechus Nami. Now, we've already discussed, I'll just go over fairly quickly, we've already discussed how Parsha Shkalim helps us deal with the idea of Kina. Okay, this you should already know, but I'll go over it very, very briefly. The idea of Kina is when I look at another human being and I say, they're better than me, and I feel bad. That they have something that I don't have, and I feel bad. But Parsha Shkalim, where the Torah says, when we give for the Korbanos of Hashem, every single person has to give the same amount. A poor person gives no less than half. And a rich person gives no more than half. The lesson of the Matzis HaShekel is, no matter how great or how lowly you are, you stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with equality with every other Jew, as long as you do what you can in the service of Hashem. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not compare us to anybody else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply is how much of ourselves, how much of our abilities do we give to Him. And therefore, when it says the poor person gives no more, or the rich person gives no less. That can even refer to a poor person in roofies, or a rich person in roofies. The person with limited abilities, who does what he can to serve Hashem, is as cherished as the person with phenomenal abilities. And indeed, if the phenomenal ability person might do 100 times more, but he only uses half of his abilities, and the person with poor abilities does much less, but he uses all of his abilities, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, the one who has given more of his abilities is on a higher madrega. So the Matzis HaShekel says, whether I'm rich or I'm poor, the one thing Hashem looks at is my heart and how much of myself I give to him. And that's an antidote to king. Why should I then be jealous of someone that has a different faith in Torah? That is that person's faith in Torah. My faith in Torah is different. My faith in Torah is unique. My faith in Torah is special. All of us know that the Zohar says that the very name Yisrael stands for the abbreviation Yesh Shishim Rigo Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. That means to say there are considered to be 600,000 Jews who left Egypt. Each Jewish neshama had its own letter, has its own letter. Each Jewish neshama has its own letter in the Sefer Torah. And when we ask Hashem in Shemona Esrei, the same Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha, show us our portion in the Torah, what we're asking Hashem is, show me what my special letter in the Torah is. Because my special letter is not somebody else's letter. It's my letter. But you understand that the Zohar does not mean this in the mechanical way. You have a hay, you have a shin. The Zohar means it in a much, much deeper way. It's not just a question of a letter. But there's a facet of Teiras Hashem that belongs to you, that is yours to discover. In other words, there's going to be a special way, a special chelek of Teira, a special mitzvah, a special insight, a unique understanding that will be the way by which you will make your kesher to the Rebbe Shalom. And there's no mother for kinna under those circumstances, because everybody has their own kesher. And that is what the Matzis HaShekel reminds us. Everybody stands equally before Hashem. And of course, it also reminds us, as we pointed out, that since a half is incomplete, unless you connect it to another half, in which case it makes a whole, it also teaches us, too, that one Jew needs another Jew, and under those circumstances, there's no welcome for kinna, because the world of kinna presupposes I want to be everything myself. But if the Matzis HaShekel says I need each other Jew, and each other Jew needs me, once again there is no welcome for jealousy, because each one needs the other one. Now there's a famous Hasidic word, it's a little bit of a joke, but it's a good word. And then he was teaching a child how to read Hebrew. After two yuds next to each other in a sitter. So the Rebbe said, you read that Hashem. That's the Kaddish Baruch Hu's name. Then when he reaches the end of the pasuk, so a period in the printed sitter tends to look like one yud on top of another yud. So the Rebbe said, so the boy read it as Hashem's name again. So the Rebbe said, no, it's a period. It's at the end of the pasuk. So he asked the Rebbe, how come the first time it was Hashem's name, and now it's the end of the pasuk? So the Rebbe said, when one yud, when one yid stands next to another yid in equality, in friendship, in supporting each other, that is where the Shekhinah dwells. That's where God lives. But when one yid stands on top of another one, looking down at them, disparaging them, stepping down on their heads, that's the end of the pasuk. The Torah can go no further. The pasuk can go, cannot go beyond that point. Again, it's an understanding thought that the explanation is a little homiletical. So, not just a shekel, both in terms of its uniformity, everybody's the same, and in terms of us, and in terms of the fact that it's a half, it does not become a whole, unless it's combined, teaches us this idea of dealing with jealousy, overcoming kidding. Kidding, by the way, is considered to be the most pernicious, the most evil of all of the negative attributes. Because even though Chazal do say there is such a thing as good jealousy, like this is the statement that says, this is the statement that says, Kinas Sofrim, Mar Bechatma, jealousy among Torah scholars can increase wisdom. But that is the jealousy where I want to improve myself because of somebody else. But the jealousy where I want somebody to be brought down to my level, there is nothing redeeming about that. That is only a total riches, which one must eradicate. And Parsha Shkolin is the first step that we take towards trying to be conscious of the idea of eradicating that degree of kinnah. In fact, there's a beautiful thought, I believe, from the Ma'abit. Ma'abit was one of the early Achronim in the time of Keshesha, the 1500s. Moshe ben Yosef Trani lived in Tzfat. The Gemara recounts that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was once in a coma, and perhaps he died, and his neshama ascended to Olam Haba. And he had, I guess what is called today, a near-death experience. And he was revived and he was brought back to life. And he was asked, what did he see? And his response was, Olam Haflach Ra'isi, I saw a topsy-turvy world. I saw in Olam Haba, El Yainim Lamata, those who are big in this world were low in that world. V'tachtainim, and those who are lowly in this world, were big in that world. That's what the Gemara says in the Sukkos. So the Ma'abit asks, what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi mean to say, those who were big in this world were important, were not important in that world? But to mean people who were wealthy, people who were politically well-connected, that's pashut. Why would there be a hava mean? Why would I think, because somebody was wealthy in this world, that that would count? In other words, of course, those who are big in this world in a material sense are not going to be big in that world in a spiritual sense, necessarily. But says the Ma'abit, big in this world meant people who are big in ruchnis. And he gave the example. Let's assume you have two people, and one person is capable of learning 12 hours a day, but he only learns 6 hours a day. And another person can only learn 1 hour a day, but he learns 1 hour a day. In Olam Hazeh, we think the guy who's learning 6 hours is six times doing more ruchnias than the guy who's only doing 1 hour. We would think as ruchnias he's a better person. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, that's not Hashem's chashuv. Hashem does not look at what you did objectively. Hashem looks at what you did compared to the abilities that you have. And that is how Hashem assesses the value of your life. That is the idea of Hufun Sara Hakra, according to the pain and the suffering, according to the efforts, is the reward that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Okay, so that's Parshas Shkolin, and it deals with the issue of kinnah. If you have this attitude, there's no makom for kinnah anymore. Because every person has their chelek, every person has their avoda, every person has their mission. Every person has that which is unique to them. Yes, it may hurt us a lot if other people do not always recognize us. And that's another reason why there's sometimes jealousy, when we feel that we're not appreciated. But remember that a Jew that believes in a Kaddish Baruch is never alone. That recognizes the unique quality we have, even if it hurts us sometimes, that other people might not. Right, so that is Shkolin and its connection to Kinnah. Now, Zohar and its connection to Taiva, again, we also discussed, but again, we didn't discuss the connection with Dharma Parshio. That is, remember, we discussed last week and before that as well, that one of the shirashim of the inner amalek is the coldness of the hearts. Right? The coldness of the heart. They made you cold and unfeeling. When you don't go through the motions of the mitzvahs, but you do so because you're bored, it's complacent, it's rote, it's mechanical. What Yishayahu the Navi calls mitzvahs anashim imada, doing the mitzvahs because that's what you were taught to do, but it's just a matter of automatic pilots. Well, we also indicate that part of why we have coldness in Avodas Hashem is when we are over-connected to the material worlds. Now, Judaism is not against Gashmius. The Nazir is a sinner, right? The Nazir takes a vow not to drink wine, and that's called a chayte. The Nazir brings a korban because he's mitzayer himself. He deprives himself of legitimate pleasures, such as the drinking of wine. So Avada Judaism says that it's good to have pleasure, it's good to enjoy the world. But at the same time, we also recognize the more one is involved in the sensual pleasures of this world, the more obsessed one is with possessions, the more into stuff one's mind and soul becomes, the less sensitive the neshama is going to be to hear the very subtle nuances of brokenness. Just as a junk diet of potato chips will disable you from tasting the finest French cuisine, which I don't have to do it anyway, but just mentioning it. Just like Nintendo and computer games will take away the ability to concentrate and read Shakespeare or William Faulkner for some deeper novel, then Lahavdil Me'a V'Ela Tavdalos, the instant cheap thrills of Olam Hazeh, in which you get instant gratification, instant but quick, or rather quick but passive gratification, take away the ability to absorb the much more slower, but deeper and more meaningful joys of ruchnius. Okay? Because ruchnius is not a quick fix by and large. Right? Ruchnius doesn't say, sit down in this chair in 2 minutes and you will be enlightened, and you will be transformed. Right? That's what some Eastern religions say about meditation and everything else. And we talk about the role that that might have. But generally speaking, Avodas Hashem is a slow, laborious process. It's a process which is brick upon brick, inch by inch, a little bit at a time. And as you go through the path, you don't always see that you're achieving great things. But you know, every good morning that you say to somebody, to say we're coming to the others, is a brick that you're making on that beautiful palace. You don't see it. Every time, if you have the urge to speak Lashon Hara, you control yourself for that moment. You're putting another brick on that palace. Indeed, every time you walk by a non-kosher restaurant, you don't look at how many dishes we have, you know, the day, you're not doing that. Now, these little things are all little bricks that we're putting on our palace. And therefore, the point is, though, that if one is used to the instant gratifications, if one is used to the instant gratifications of the physical and material life, then ruchnius is going to appear like a burden, it's going to appear to be boring, uninteresting, and the like. And therefore, Rav Tzadok says, if remembering Amalek is to remember the inner Amalek, and if the inner Amalek is the coldness of the heart in Avodas Hashem, and if the coldness of the heart in Avodas Hashem comes because we are too connected to taiva and materials, then in effect, Rav Tzadok says, in somewhat of a non-obvious way, the Avoda Parshas Zohar is to disengage ourselves from taiva. Okay, again, it's not an obvious thing. Most people would not automatically relate Amalek to taiva, but Rav Tzadok's relationship is a clear relationship because Amalek is related to Asher Korcha Baderech, which is the coldness of the hearts. And the coldness of the heart in Avodas Hashem comes when one is mekusha in gashmius in an excessive way. So shkalim is connected to kina, zachor is connected to taiva. Now let's go to Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah is the special appreciatory this week. All of us know generally the halakha of Parah Aduma, that if a person is in contact with a dead body, so one of the necessary purification rituals is that on the third and on the seventh day of their tumah, so they got tumah on Monday, so it would be Wednesday and Sunday, they get sprinkled with a little bit of the ashes of the Parah Aduma mixed with spring water. And when they are sprinkled with the ashes on the third and on the seventh day that they go to the mikvah, they will be taller. That is why today, since we don't have the Parah Aduma, all of us who have ever been in contact in a cemetery or with somebody in a cemetery, all of us have the status of a Tamei Nes. Everyone here is a Tamei Nes. And because we're a Tamei Nes, that's basically why we're not permitted to go beyond the Kotel Marabi, because that would be entering the Temple Mount. And the Tamei Nes is not allowed to enter the Temple Mount, and we cannot become non-Tamei Nesim until we have the Parah Aduma. Now keep in mind, the Parah Aduma is not necessary for all tumas. So for example, if someone is a tuma because of a seminal emission, or a woman is tuma because of nida, she only has to go to the mikvah. But Parah Aduma is necessary for tumas mes, and that is why all of us are Tamei Mason is Man Hazer. That's why it's so exciting every few years when a red cow is born. People think this might be the Parah Aduma, etc. Then they usually discover that after a few months it has two black hairs. And if it even has two black hairs, it's already puzzled. Then there's some discussion about genetically engineering a Parah Aduma, which would be 100% perfect. Okay. Now all of us know Parah Aduma is called in Torah Chayk Chukas Torah. This is the Chuk of the Torah. Chayk is the mitzvahs for which there are no reasons. And the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech, who was the Chacham Mipavadam, was able to find reasons for every single mitzvah of the Torah, shatness and everything else. But once he got to Parah Aduma, he saw there was no reason. In fact, and that the Pasuk in Kohelet says, Amarti Hefkunam. I said to myself, I would be wise. I try to understand all of the Torah. Vehi rechaika mimeni. But the Torah was beyond me. In fact, the Mefarshim say that he understood with Parah Aduma that not only didn't he know Parah Aduma, but he figured if he didn't know Parah Aduma, and it actually meant all the other things he thought he did know, he probably didn't fully understand either. In other words, the Torah is beyond human comprehension. But the Mefarshim explained like this. The Mefarshim explained that the real chok of Parah Aduma is not the fact that, you know, it's mysterious. Why does this red cow make a person taller? The real chok about Parah Aduma is its paradox, its contradiction. Right, because the halakha is, if I'm tameh and you sprinkle me with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, it makes me taller. Mm-hmm. So it's mitaher es hatzmein. And yet the halakha is that the various kohanim that handle the ashes of the Parah Aduma, they become tameh. Now they don't need to be sprinkled with Parah Aduma ashes, because then you'd be going on forever. Right, because they just have to go to the mikvah, they're only coming for one day. But it is true that the Parah Aduma is mitaher es hatmeyim u'mitameh es hatahayim. So the real kasha of Parah Aduma from Shlomo HaMelech's standpoint was not simply why it is mitaher. We know why it's mitaher. I'm not saying we don't know why, but it's mitaher. There are a lot of things that are mysterious about that. But the real kasha is, how can the same thing that makes one person taller make another person as a cash? How can it be Natalia as Atenean, Natalia and Natalia as Atenean? Now, they used to say, sometimes they used to say this about Valencia Suárez. You said Valencia Suárez was somewhat like the, there was somebody from Torah Duma when they tried to discourage sometimes the yeshiva students from participating for various reasons. They would say, well, you know, Natalia is Atenean, Natalia is Atenean. Whatever, things in life that way, that it's good for bringing people up, and maybe not good for other situations. I'm not expressing an opinion on that. I'm just passing on the quote. But be this as it may, although in Shlomo HaMelech, if Shlomo HaMelech didn't have a reason, you can rest assured whatever reason I give you is probably not right. But I'm going to give it to you anyway, as a little bit of a perspective of what might be partially behind the Tyre es HaTaharit, the Tmei, the Metamei es HaTaharit. The Sfasem es writes, and Rav Tzadok also said the same thing. Now remember, we were regarding this Mahalet, that Shalem teaches us how to deal with jealousy. Zohar teaches us about Taiva. Hora Aduma teaches us about Kavod. How is that so? Because Hora Aduma frees us from the tumor of death. Right? One is coming next. Hora Aduma makes you Tohar. Why did death come into the world? Death came into the world because of Chet. But more specifically, the Chet was connected to Kavod. Because the Nachash told Chava, eat from the Eitz Hadas. V'hayitzem ke'elokim, so you can be like God. Yadeya tov v'ra, to truly understand good and evil. It was the desire for gaiva, for kavod, for arrogance, that may Adam and Chava be mired against Hashem. To be like God. And that is why death came into the world, not so much as a punishment, but as a reminder that a human being is not God. Because the ultimate reminder, because a human being is God-like in many ways. Selam Elokim, intelligence, creativity, power. We can destroy worlds. But the ultimate reminder that we're not that is that we don't live forever. That's why you see sometimes that Chira Melech Tzur, who helped Shlomo HaMelech build the Beis HaMikdash, was given tremendous arichas yamim, hundreds of years. And after a few hundred years, after he saw all his contemporaries die, he began to think of himself as a god. So death came into the world as a tikkun for the kavod of Hayisem Kelekim, Yede Taibarah. So you know why Parah Aduma liberates me from death, as it were, frees me from the tumah of death? Because Parah Aduma represents ashes. And the Sfas Emes says, when you make yourself like ashes, ultimate self-negation, his spotless nullification, humility, submission, then you are zochet to be reborn and recreated, free and clear of your shaychus to death. That doesn't mean if you're sprinkled to live forever, but at least at that moment, the tumah of death leaves you. Because death comes into the world because of kavod. Ashes is the opposite of kavod. By turning yourself into ashes, you free yourself from death. And that is the notion of humility and humbleness and submission. So now you see very clearly, I'll come back to the Shlomo Melech, but you see very clearly, again, Shkalah deals with jealousy, Zohar deals with Taiva, Parshas Parah deals with Kavod, because it reminds me that I achieve purification through death only by turning myself into ashes. But here's the thing. Now, with all the news about cholesterol and everything else, as you probably know, there's what is called good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. HDL and LDL. Well, kavod comes in two forms as well. There is good kavod and bad kavod. At one level, kavod is the most destructive of all bad midas. A person who seeks out kavod, a person who's a bal gaiva, who's arrogant, who's haughty, the Gemara says, Hashem says about such a person, Ein ani v'hu yechaylen lador ha'olam echad. The world is not big enough, says Hashem, for me and this bal gaiva. There's not enough room in the world for both of us. In fact, the Gemara gives an amazing amazing story of how illogical and irrational and self-destructive gaiva could be. The Gemara says, probably learned this in Navi, the Gemara says that at one point when Yerubba ben Nevat was establishing his separate kingdom, he put up the golden calves in Beis El. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yerubba ben Nevat, Yerubba, Chazorba, do tshuva, and I and David and Ishai and you, we will walk together in Gan Eden. Just do tshuva. So Yerubba ben Nevat asks, Mi Bereish, who's going to be at the head of the line? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, well, David will be Bereish. So Yerubba ben Nevat says, I'm not interested. Actually, don't the Bali Mister say? When Yerubba asked Mi Bereish, he wasn't only asking, is David ahead of me, or am I ahead of David? He was asking, is God going to be the head of the line? Yerubba ben Nevat was saying, I don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be on the head of the line. I want to be the head of the line. That's how distorted the judgment of the Baal Gaiva says. You know, there's Yerubba ben Nevat is saying, I don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Bereish. So on one hand, kavod is the most awful thing in the world. And that is why it brings death into the world. And that is why purification can only occur by making yourself ashes. But, at the same time, without kavod, it's impossible for a human being to serve Hashem. Because if I truly, honestly believe I am worthless, I am nothing, what I do is not significant, then why on earth should I ever do a mitzvah? Why would I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about whether I wash my hands, you know, below the knuckle or above the knuckle, or whether I keep Shabbos or Kashrus or Lashon Hara? Who am I? So you see, the holy site of Yiddishkeit is the belief that I make a difference, that I'm important, that I'm beloved to Hashem, that Hashem cares about me and about you, and Hashem worries about how we live our lives, that we make a difference, that we are kosher, that we are banim and banais and b'nei hamakom. And the Bali Busser said, a person who is not aware of their faults and their inadequacies is a fool. If you think you're perfect, you're a fool, you're a shaitan. But if a person is not aware of their greatness, that is a tragedy. Not just a fool, that's a tragedy. Because the emphasis is, if a person is not aware of their godless, then there'll be nothing within them that will ever give them the yisairus to grow and improve and change themselves. That is why a person needs a certain amount of pride, a certain amount of self-esteem, a a certain amount of knowing that they count, that they have talents, they have abilities, they have keichas. Because without that, all there's going to be is paralysis, despair, and depression. So, is kavod good or kavod bad? The answer is yes. Kavod is both. Kavod is the worst thing that can exist in the world. And it's also the most important thing that can exist in the world. If the kavod turns a person into a gaiva, if it turns a person into belittling other people, if it turns a person into a person who disparages the goodness of others, then it's an evil thing. But if it's a recognition, I have kavod, I have abilities, I have potentials, I have talents, and therefore I have an achrayus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to use those talents to the best way that I can, then that kavod is a very important kavod. And in fact, it's merubas in a famous pasuk in Divrei Hayamim describing one of the righteous kings of Yehuda, Yehoshaphat, by Yigbal Libo Nidarchei Hashem. His heart was proud in the Darchei Hashem and pursuing the path of God. And that refers to the notion of recognizing your abilities and going forward. When we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all people, we surely don't mean that he thought he was stupid. We surely don't mean that he thought he couldn't teach Torah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done what he was able to do. He did. He recognized his kavod, but he knew that they were given to him from Hashem. And compared to Hashem, all of us are nothing anyway. And therefore, he did not allow him to turn into a personal gaiva. So one might suggest, apologies to Shlomo HaMelech, of course, one might suggest that maybe that is the remnant in the ashes, bringing purity to the impure, but at the same time contaminating the pure. Maybe the Torah HaKadosha is teaching us here that the same beautiful characteristic of making yourself ashes, making yourself nothing, which can bring purity and holiness to the greatest sinner when it's done in the right way, can destroy a righteous person if it's done in the wrong way. Meaning, the humility of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu purifies, but when it turns into a sense of worthlessness about yourself, it could then contaminate. And it's one has to be very, very careful, because in fact, one can easily go from one part of it to the other part of it. It's very easily, it would be very easy to slide from one thing to the other. And of course, this really is encapsulated by the famous teaching of Rav Bunim Machar Shizcha, one of the great Hasidic Rebbe's. He was the Rebbe of the Kedushi Arim, and the Rebbe of the Kutzker, where he said a person has to have two ideas in his two pockets at all times. One idea is Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. Because of me, the whole world was created. Hashem made a lot of cows and a lot of lions and a lot of monkeys, but he started off the universe with only one human being, so that every human being should recognize how infinitely important they are, that this whole universe was put here for me. But in the other pocket, the person has to have the words of Avraham Avinu, Anochi Afar Va'Eved, I am dust and ashes, I am nothing. You have to have both ideas. If all you are is Anochi Afar Va'Eved, you live in a world of paralysis, a world of despair, a world of depression, a world where when you wake up in the morning, you tell yourself, there's nothing important for me to do in the world because there's nothing important that I am. And there's nothing useful that I contribute. So you have to know Bishvili Nivra HaOlam. But if all you have is Bishvili Nivra HaOlam, that leads to arrogance and gaiva and looking down on others. So you go through life with that balance and that tension And one might suggest this is merumas in the dichotomy and in the contradiction of the para adon of mitaver es hatzayim, mitame es hatzayim. Okay, so for kitzer, again connecting with Rav Tzadok's basic structure, we have Parsha Shkalim dealing with jealousy, Parsha Zohar dealing with taiva, Parshas Parah dealing with the issue of kavod, and then we come to the fourth week before Pesach, before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is Parshas Chodesh. And Rav Tzadok points out that after you have eradicated the evil within you, Sur Meirah, after you've dealt with Kina and Taiva and Kavod, you cannot just rest on your laurels. But you then have to be Isaac immediately in Asay Tayyim. Now this is very interesting because he points out that depending on the year, between every one of the Parshios, there can always be a break. Between Shtalon and Zohar, there might be a Shabbos off. Between Zohar and Parah, although not this year, there might be a Shabbos off. Between, but there's never going to be a Shabbos between Parah and Chodesh. Parah and Chodesh are always going to be consecutive. And the reason that so is, as soon as you complete the Sur Meirah, you immediately have to concretize it by an Asay Tayyim. Hischatshus is renewal. How is that? Because there are moments in life when a person gets inspired to make some change, right? There are moments like, you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, today I'm finally going to do that thing that I should have done. Okay? Well, let's say you haven't been talking to somebody for 2 months. Today I'm going to pick up that phone. Now, if you do it right away, you'll be able to do it. But if you wait, even a half an hour or a little bit, very often the resolve weakens and weakens and weakens. Robert Hutchins, who is a famous professor, one said this about exercise. Said that he does occasionally get the urge to physically exercise, but he just lies down and he knows that in 5 minutes it will stop bothering him. Well, in Ruchnius, it's very much the same way. A person has his emeritus, but no, maybe these emeritus Yom Kippur, whatever it is, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, it might be a sunset over Yerushalayim, whatever it might be. But if you don't seize the moment, if you don't do something with that Yisairus, the Yisairus is going to pass. And then you're not going to have that inner desire to make those changes. And therefore, as Tzadok says, when you achieve the emotional arousal by consciously working on Kina Taiva Kavod, you need to concretize the spiritual gain by doing a Maaseh Tayyib. And then mitzvah goeres mitzvah, the mitzvahs that you do give you strength and they build you up. And then it creates a lifeline, just like when you build a bridge. You know the way a bridge is built across a span of water? It starts off with a very narrow cord. And then one cord can be added to another cord, etc. And then eventually it can hold the weight of cars and everything else. But you have to have that narrow cord. Without that first cord, the bridge cannot be built. Okay, so this is a little bit of a mashava that one can think about during the Balad Parshios, because otherwise we're just Torah readings. We don't really have a sense of what it represents. But look at it as a journey. Now, you know, Pesach is a physically very hard time for a lot of you. I would say women probably more so than men. Fairly or unfairly, I'm not saying it's fair, but fairly or unfairly, women do bear comparatively more of the burden of living. I'm not sure how much you're exempt, but you're here. I don't know. Maybe your brothers will be more of it this year. But it is very difficult sometimes, though, in the middle of all of the cleaning of the physical chametz, to try to think also of the ruchnius reactions that are taking place as well. And the Mirza Hashem, maybe the Zohar, not only to get rid of the physical chametz, which is very, very important, obviously, but to also concentrate on the chametz of the leg as well, and in that way we